Are you ready for the Word tonight? Turn your Bibles to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. It says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I, not, well, I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Now, we've talked in here quite a bit in the past about tithing opening the windows of heaven, right? And we went through the entire series that discussed the different gateways or doors or windows we should be going through to access the blessing of God. And we found that it's not just enough to tithe, not just enough to be saved. There's a whole set of steps we've got to learn and apply spiritually to access the blessing of God. We included sowing seed, learning faith, forgiving those that have wronged you, your daily confession, the walk of holiness, going to church. They're all steps of moving into the blessing of God. But I want you to notice something on that verse 10. It says, "Bring you all the tithes in the storehouse," right? "Then he may open you the windows of heaven." It doesn't say to you. It didn't just say open the windows. It says open you. Now put a comma there for a second. The windows of heaven. In other words, God, I believe this is a dual application of this verse. There's windows God wants to open over our lives for the blessing, but He wants to open us up as windows of heaven. You are the one that God wants to pour the blessing through. You're the one He wants to bring the gifts and the manifestation through. He's the one that wants, He wants to birth the glory through. We are the gateways to the things of God. So turn to Psalm 24. Let's look at this again. And I know we've covered this quite a bit. Thank you, Jesus. Have you got it? Verse 7. "Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Now, we've been talking about this, that we are gateways God wants to use to pour out His blessing through, right? So tithing is one of the gateways, one of the windows that He says He will pour you out a blessing, that there's not room enough to receive it. And we're the gateways that God wants to open up to the world. And of course, the way we open ourselves up as gateways is find out who we are in Christ, and we go through the other gates. See, once you go through the other gates, now you become the gateway. Because when God pours out a blessing into your life, it's always more than you can receive of just yourself. You understand that? He wants to overflow you with blessing so that there's enough left over to be a blessing to others. So God told Abraham, and how many know we are the seed of Abraham? They which be of faith, one of the windows of the seed of Abraham. God told Abraham, "I'm going to bless you. And through the blessing I place on you, I will bless all nations. Through you, all nations of the earth shall be blessed." Now we know the primary way that that took place was through Jesus, right? Through the seed of Abraham, the Messiah was brought forth who became the blessing to the earth. But at the same time, God told Abraham, "I want to so bless you." How many know He was able to take His own 318 hired servants in His house and free five nations? Remember that? Or conquer five nations, I guess it was. And free other nations, including His nephew Lot. And so God has set forth an example of what He wants to do in our lives, especially in the end times. He wants to pour so much blessing through us that it overflows to the world. Oh, thank you, Jesus. See, we have this real limited mindset of God's blessing. In fact, we're Christians walking around saying, "Oh, God, don't bless me too much. I just want enough for me, just enough for me and my three, and just enough to get by, a little cabin in the corner of glory." And you're really saying to God, "I really don't think you can do a whole lot in my life." But what if we really stretched ourselves and says, "God, I believe you can so bless me, I can become a blessing to other people, even with just the overflow. We have a mindset of sacrificial giving in the church, and I believe there's a time that God will call you to some sacrificial giving. He may call you to so major things. But the truth is, He wants you to move into such an overflow. It's not a sacrifice to give, it's a joy. And you're just keeping a process or a system of sowing and reaping operating in your life that there's so much overflow, it's got to be poured out. Amen. So God wants to turn us into philanthropists for the world. Why should the wicked be the ones that get the most attention for giving away finances or blessings? It should be the people of God. Amen. I heard a quote from a politician. It's been several years back. But two people were talking. One was like a senator and a state senator. One was saying, you know, we need to make further effort to court the Christian community to go after their vote and after their support. And the politician said, why? They don't have any money. In other words, they can't support our candidacy at any high level. Why are we courting them with so much effort to bend over for them? Because they're not the ones funding us. It should be the Christians are funding the political elections. Amen. And so God wants to make us gateways of the blessing and of the goodness of God. So I want to look at some verses dealing with some of this. Turn to Exodus chapter 33, and I'm going to look at some verses that deal with these gateways, doors, and windows. In fact, we're going to look at some of each this morning. Exodus chapter 33. Verse 8, and it came to pass, when Moses went out under the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his own or at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. Now, do you want to be in your house or do you want to be in the tabernacle of God? I'd rather be in God's house. How about you? And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. God's presence we see here connected to going through the doors. When Moses went through the door, the cloudy pillar, which was a type of the glory or a sign of the glory, descended upon that doorway. I'm telling you, every time you go through a door with God, every time you're obedient to do what He says to do, whether it's speak to somebody, sow a seed, go through a battle, or develop a new, how can I say it, apply a new revelation in your life, you step into more and more of the presence of God. Verse 10 says, and all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. Now, I don't know about you, and I understand there was a concern about, you know, approaching God and the fear of the Lord was strong, but if I saw that somebody could enter into the glory, I wouldn't be content staying at my door. I'd want to go to that door. I would want to see how close I could get to that cloud, potentially even go in, should God allow it. Of course, at that time, they weren't allowed. It was Moses. But to approach the cloud versus stay in your own door. And so many people are locked in their own doors, their own mindsets of how they think church ought to be or how they think they should live as a Christian versus find what doors does God want us to go through. The multitude stayed at their own door, but Moses went through God's door. And I believe that is a far better decision. Amen? Chapter 36. No. Chapter 40. Let's go there. Now, in Exodus chapter 40, what a powerful chapter we have where the glory of God fills the tabernacle. Look at verse 34. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter in into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Praise God. We're talking about so much of the glory of God poured out on the tabernacle that Moses couldn't even enter. Oh, why? Because I believe to some level it was because he was not yet made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But you are. And I believe there's some steps we can go through to enter every door God has for us. But back up to verse number... Let's go to verse number 11. In preparation of going into the tabernacle, it says, "And thou shalt anoint the laver in his foot and sanctify it." Now, what was the laver? You remember what the laver was? Out in front of the tabernacle in the courtyard were two items that involved the priestly rituals. One was the brazen altar, the brass altar, where they would sacrifice the animals and shed their blood on behalf of the sins of the people, right? The other object was the brass laver. It was about 10 feet in diameter, and it said it was so much brass, it was beyond weight. It was 5-inch thick walls on the outside of the brass laver. And it's amazing, they've actually looked at this, because God gives the dimensions of the laver, the dimensions of the wall. Then he tells the circumference, and you calculate it out, it's almost right on the value of pi. God embedded the value of pi in that brass laver. I just find that really interesting. And so, that was a side note. You got that one for free. No, we should do another offering on that one. And so that laver was the place where, after the sacrifice, the priest, before they could go into the tabernacle, had to go through some cleansing steps, some washing steps, representing being cleansed of their sins. And the laver was right before the door of the tabernacle. They could not go into the tabernacle without going through the cleansing steps first. Right? So let's look at it again. Let's go to verse 10. I'm sorry, 12. "And thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and wash them with water. And thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments, and anoint him, and sanctify him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office." And then they go through the rest of the steps, which take them to the glory of God descending upon that tabernacle. God says there's cleansings that are necessary to go through the doors. And we've talked about going through the different doors that God has. And I'm telling you, every time you're going through a new door with God, there's a new step of obedience you must take. There's a new stretch in your own transformation that you must move into. Amen. And as we continue to go through these doors and take these cleansing or transformational steps, the glory of God will be the final outcome. Praise the Lord for the glory of God. Go on over to Leviticus chapter 10. Well, let's go on. No, let's go. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Now, I like this. I get my pages to turn. Go to verse number 18. Now, understand, Deuteronomy was written right before. It was written the month before they went in to take the promised land. And what God did in Deuteronomy is, right before they went in to the new generation, he reiterated all the needs God had, or the demands God had for them to move in and take that land. You follow me? And to possess and to hold it. So they'd spent 40 years in the wilderness, and God had already spoke all everything in Deuteronomy. To some level, God had already spoken in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers. But in Deuteronomy, it's now 40 years later, he's going to speak it again to make sure they know what's required. That's why you hear me keep preaching so many messages, so you keep getting refreshed on it, right? We see God had the same method of operation. Verse number 18. Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul and bind them for a sign upon your hand. Now he's talking about the word of God, right? The commandments Moses received, which for us would be the word of God. That they may be as frontless between your eyes. And ye shall teach them, your children speaking of them, when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house, and upon thy gates. God said, I need you in preparation to go into the promised land. And as you're there, while you're there, take the commandments of God and write them on your gates and write them on your doorposts. Now, traditionally, when we speak this or when we teach this, we normally say, because every time you came in the house, every time you came through the gate, you wanted to remind yourself of the word of God and that it was God that brought you into this promised land, right? In other words, every time you move in and out of the house, you're blessed coming in, blessed going out. Every time you're making a shift, you want to make sure you keep the word before your eyes. In fact, he said, keep the word as frontless before your eyes. What they would do is they had these little bitty boxes, these tiny boxes, they would put little bitty rolled up scrolls in. And they called them frontlets. And that would hang down on their forehead between their eyes to remind them the word of God should be your source of all direction, right? And you should be always thinking on the word. But I also want to bring it forth in this fashion. He said, write the word on your gates, write it on the doorposts of your house, because I believe the word of God is critical for you to go through the gates and to go through the doors. You're not going to go through this spiritual place with God of your own ability. You're not going to go to this new place with God of your own intellect. You're going to go through by the word. Now let me throw this in as well. We've been talking about going through gates regarding your confession, your forgiveness, your holiness, your tithing. We talked about 8 primary gates. But I believe there's also a set of doors God wants to take us to in our spiritual development and spiritual growth and promotability. And many of you, I know I have pages of stuff written out that God's told me to do in the past that I was obedient to do, even though it stretched me sometimes to the breaking point. And I believe each time I did, I walked through another door of opportunity with God. But you can't go to those places that stretch you spiritually without the Word of God strengthening you or even supporting you in it. You've got to have a Word that you've released your faith upon to develop enough hope to move into what God has. Amen? So God told Israel, when you go in, I need the Word on your gates and on your doorposts. I really believe that God's pouring out so much revelation in these end times that He's showing us what's necessary to go through the next gateway, the next doorway, the next place of stretch unto opportunity. Thank you, Jesus. I had another testimony today. Jana Strunk's going to share it next Sunday morning. I'll give you a heads up on it. It's about a month ago I prayed for Josh. Do you remember when Josh came for prayer and he'd injured his back and hips and everything? He was healed. And they have, was it a chiropractor? The chiropractor has before and after x-rays. And the chiropractor says he's never in all of his practice seen such a dramatic shift in such a short amount of time. Why? It was instant. From one moment to the other, he's healed, and the doctor was just amazed. And he's a Christian. So what I'm getting at is the power of God is being poured out as we go through the doors. Amen? And it becomes the reason we have a hope to know that God's going to do something greater and greater every time we come together. I'm expecting the miracles here to start manifesting one after another. Amen? Why? You're expecting it. Psalm 141. And what I did on this teaching is I just did a search on doors, windows, and gates. And pulled up verses to see what the Word had to say about these situations. Or these areas of application. Psalm 141. Let's go to verse 1. Lord, I cry unto Thee. Make haste unto me. Give ear to my voice when I cry unto Thee. Let my prayer be set forth before Thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Now we just mentioned the word is critical to go through the doors. But now we see your what you speak, what is on your lips becomes critical regarding the doors. In fact, here the psalmist calls your lips a door. How would your lips be a door? Because what you speak is given access to your life. What you speak in faith is given right to manifest supernaturally, right? So your lips become a door for the power of God to be poured out. But at the same time, if you can't control what you say, in other words, by the Word of God, how many of the words what lets us control what we say, then your lips can become a doorway to the wrong thing. And you being a gateway, a door yourself, your lips become the door that control what you as a door produce. Did you follow that? And he says, set a watch, Lord, on the door of my lips. So I believe it's important you watch over all your doors. We mentioned before that we all know that when we pray or we get in the Word, we should expect to hear God. I can't read the Word and not hear the Spirit of God speaking to me, right? If nothing else, telling me to adjust my life to match that Word to a higher level. And but I found out that the majority of stuff the Holy Spirit speaks to me, if not all of it, always deals with the door. It deals with what I'm speaking, what I'm sowing, my attitudes of forgiveness, my walk of holiness, my church commitment. It deals with those things. Why? Because the Spirit of God wants to get you through the doors. He's going to instruct you on what it takes to go to the next level. Did you follow that? And what you speak becomes critical to that. And it says, set a watch on the door of my lips. You've got to be sure. You monitor what you're doing. You set a watch on how you're responding to the doors. The enemy is an expert trying to get you to lock those doors on yourself. How do you lock doors on yourself? You say things like, Lord, I'll never forgive them. This is the last straw, I'll never forgive them. Well, you just made an inner vow that's locking doors on your life that are keeping you going to the next level. Or I could never sow that. Or I would never, I'll never go to church again. Or you know, we could go on and on, right? You've got to recognize where spiritual advancement is all tied to how we respond to the doors God's placed before our lives. And, you know, we have a mindset in the church. Well, just whatever I do, I do. And God will open the door if He wants me to open. If He wants the door open, He'll take me where I need to go and He'll give me what I need to have. That's really not what the Word says. The Word says death and life's in the power of the tongue. Right? And so you control, you have given a right to control your own destiny. But it involves realizing these doors exist. The enemy's going to try to keep you out of them, and you've got to be determined to go through them. And every single door is gone through by faith. Every single door is accessed by the Word. Let me say this as well. I heard Pastor Colin teaching this on messages, probably 20 years old message. I heard him teaching it about faith and healing. But he was bringing forth that, I was just listening to some old messages the other day. Anytime you make a faith determination to do something by the Word, there will always be battle. It's part of the process. Because you're doing something that seems illogical, unreasonable, the enemy's going to, he's going to target that area of your thinking and try to make it seem like you can't have that promise and battle you tooth and nail to try to get you to give up on your faith stand. And every door that you go through will take faith to do it, require you speaking the Word to go through it, standing on the Word, and will involve a battle. I remember years ago, and hopefully I remember it right, but you guys knew who Mr. T is, right? Chamberlain, Rocky III, dun 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 dun. Anyway, Mr. T got his start as the first ever World Tough Man champion. Does anybody remember that? Probably nobody but me, because I'm the only one old enough that watched that kind of show back then. They had an original Tough Man competition, my goodness, what, 35 years or so ago? Back before Rocky III, that's how he got that part, was because of that notoriety he got from that Tough Man competition. Do you want me to ramble a minute? Did you know what Rocky III is? Where he fought Chamberlain, Mr. T? The original person he chose for that part was Joe Frazier. Now, Joe Frazier fought Muhammad Ali three times, beat him once. Joe Frazier was world champion, heavyweight boxing champion, for some time. And he chose Joe Frazier to play that part of Chamberlain, but he says something when he get in the ring with Joe Frazier, something came across his eyes. You can see he's shifted to a kill mentality, and he says he didn't feel comfortable in the ring with Joe Frazier. So they switched him out for Mr. T to play the part. Now, you're wondering where I'm going with all this, right? I remember watching the Tough Man competition. And one of the things they had to do was go through a locked door. And Mr. T, I remember he took a running start it was a heavy door, barred up, you know, and everything. And he blew through that door like it wasn't there. I mean, exploded the door into pieces. What? Nothing was keeping him from the door to the championship. And when you decide you're going through a door, you want God to promote you, you want Him to advance you, He's just going to take your faith, it's going to require the Word, and it's going to require a fight. And you got to be determined to go through. And one of the key aspects of the fight, because sometimes don't you wish you could just punch your way through to a victory? Take a big stick or something, or a gun, shoot your way to victory? The number one thing you need regarding victory in the kingdom of God is to be diligent to put that guard over your lips, the door of your lips. Because what comes out of your mouth controls what you move into and how you respond to what you're moving into, right? And I'm telling you what, you can go through hell and feel like you can't take it anymore. You can go through situations that feels like it's all you can do to manifest. But if you will maintain your proper confession and not speak things like it's not working or it didn't work or I failed, you'll go through to your victory. What you say becomes the critical hinge to go through the doors. Amen? Are you still with me? Now, Matthew chapter 25. Are you there? Now here's the parable of what we call the parable of the 10 virgins. Verse 1 says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps." In other words, they had oil in their lamp and they had extra oil in their vessel. Understand here, the foolish virgins had oil in their lamps. So these people had access to some level of anointing, but they had not done what was necessary to take extra oil with them. Do you see this? They didn't take an extra container of oil. It says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Everybody got to take a nap. Everybody got to rest. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Now, understand they've gone to sleep probably at dark or after, you know, soon after, and the lamps have probably been burning. But now, by the time it's midnight, there's an oil shortage that's about to take place. It says, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. You guys know what trim the lamp means? You guys remember what trim the lamp means? You dial it back to get the right flame height, right? And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Oh, their oil ran out while they were sleeping. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready to went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. The door was shut. Now, it's interesting to me that they told the foolish virgins, go and buy oil for yourself. And I find this really interesting. Apparently, the foolish virgins knew how to get the oil, which is more than most Christians know. Did you follow me? You guys know how to get the oil. How do you get the oil? Worship and praise God. Go to church. Pray. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Get in His presence, and you'll get filled. And the foolish knew how to do this. So where does that leave the whole group of people that would say they were Christians but don't even know there is oil? See, there's some serious parables in the Word of God. And a lot of Christianity takes the opportunity God gave us to go into the bridegroom way too lightly and don't put enough emphasis on our part to keep filled with oil. Amen. And especially discover what the oil is and how you get it. Amen. And so the wise went in and the door was shut. Now, what does it mean the door was shut? The opportunity to go in was over. It says, verse 11, afterward came also the other virgins. In other words, they got the oil, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Now, what is it that made him know the wise but not the foolish? The wise had taken enough effort to praise God and to worship God, to be involved in stepping into His presence, that God would say, I know you. Now let me say this again, because I'm not trying to make Christianity hard. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm not trying to make this, overwhelming. But I can't read these and not comment on the seriousness of these passages. We all want to go into the bridegroom. And apparently there's a group, according to what Jesus said, that will have oil, that will know how to get more oil, but still did not take it seriously enough to stay filled with oil, that won't be able to go in. Let me back up for a minute as well. I'm not convinced this marriage supper is not regarding the marriage supper of the Lamb that those that go up in the rapture will be involved in. Do you follow me? And I'm not sure that the bridesmaids that don't make it or the virgins that don't make it are going to hell. They may just miss the rapture. But I want to be enough filled with God, I don't miss nothing. It's good. And so there's a need here to stay filled with God, because there's a door that's going to be shut. But I don't believe you get to that door that's going to be shut If you've had any time to follow God at all, you're not going to get to that point unless you're going through the doors on the way. You can't get the anointing without going through some doors. You can't get overflowing with anointing unless you make it a practice to put a watch over the doors and go through them with diligence. Are you seeing this? Now understand, it sounds like I'm making this way too hard, but I didn't write this. And I don't think God ever meant for it to be something we take for granted. That the creator of the universe would send his own son to die for us, and we say, well, that's really nice. Put a little tingle on me. He wants it to encompass our whole being. So he said, I know you not. Verse 13, watch therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Don't take the doors we're to go through for granted. Because when you take seriously the doors we're to go through now, there's a door that will be open later, you'll be qualified to go through. Oh, this is heavy stuff, isn't it? Luke chapter 11. See, there is a spiritual attack against this nation and against Christianity that is a major attack to make people think they're okay no matter where they're at if they believe in Jesus. And to think it's not necessary to press into the things of the kingdom. And I don't know where the line is drawn with God, but I believe it's a whole lot higher than most Christians think it is. Amen. And you go to many other nations, you go to church, they take it seriously. But in America, it's almost like an entertainment side issue of our lives. Luke chapter 11. Go to verse number 5. And Jesus said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Please don't come knocking it on my door at midnight for bread. They sell it down at the convenience store. But they didn't have convenience stores in Jesus' day, right? For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut. Now here's another shut door, right? A door where you need some blessing passed to your life, even to be an overflow to somebody else. Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. Jesus says, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity. Does anybody have another word in that different translation? Persistence, exactly. Because of his diligent persistence. In fact, another translation says, or definition of the word mean, a bold persistence. Because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Now, I can't recommend the show, but I've seen it quite a bit because it's got some worldly stuff in it. But have you ever seen The Big Bang Theory? May God have mercy on your souls. I'm teasing. And it's a geek-oriented show. And have you ever seen Sheldon knock on Penny's door? In the old ones? Knock, 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 Penny. Knock, 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 Penny. Knock, knock. And she's in there trying to hide. And finally, she's got to open the door to Sheldon. What's he doing? He's demonstrating importunity. And though he's her friend, she doesn't want to open the door for whatever he wants. But because he won't stop knocking, she will open the door. Well, when it says, knock on the door, she'll be open, it's talking with regard to a persistent or continual seeking or knocking. Don't just go up to the door of opportunity God placed before you. Go into it with a determination, I'm going through. Amen? In fact, be like Mr. T, who was determined to win. Don't just walk up into it and knock a little bit. Blast through that thing. Give it everything you've got. Thank you, Jesus. Be willing to pray for more than, 15 minutes. Be willing to fast more than one meal. Boy, I can tell I'm getting all kinds of fans with this one. Be willing to rise up early, stay up late to seek God. Shut off the television for a day and do nothing but read the Word. In other words, press into those doors. I said a day because they want to stretch you too far. I've discovered some of the greatest breakthroughs I've had spiritually where I dedicate my time to God, do nothing but seek God for a period. Now, here in a few weeks, we're going to have, October, the Glory Separation Weekend. For 2 days, we'll do nothing but praise, worship, share the Word, and pray. And I'm guaranteeing you, God is going to show up mightily. Why? Because we're demonstrating importunity. We're coming and saying, God, we're setting aside the distractions of the world for these 2 days, and we're going to do nothing but seek you. And God moves on that kind of faith versus the surface faith that says, well, I'll give it a little shot. I'll put a little bit of effort into it. But I'm saying sometimes you've got to blast through the doors. Sometimes you've got to blast through the doors with your seed. Sometimes you've got to blast through the doors blessing your enemy. Amen? Sometimes you can blast through the doors with your confession. Kevin Holleran says one time he drove to Louisville and he confessed, I believe it was 500 times on the way to Louisville, his elevator speech over his business, which involves the Word of God. I'm blessed of God. I have the fastest growing, largest carpet business in all of Central Kentucky. He's expanded. Now, he said over 500 times, going, what's he doing? He's showing importunity. And so I've discovered at times that I'll dedicate my time or my efforts into seeking God, I will see breakthroughs. At time I got the brand new back. 3 days on the couch, virtually almost nothing but listening to the Word and acting on it. Amen. Because sometimes you need to get your lamp so overfilled it runs all over your life and you see manifested supernatural results. Amen. Be willing to push on that door until it opens. Luke 13, because see, that demonstrates faith. To stay with it demonstrates you really believe it belongs to you. Luke 13. Verse 23. Then said one to him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them. In other words, they asked him a question. Are there going to be a lot saved or a few? And Jesus said, strive to enter into the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and he has shut the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know not whence you are. Do you see how many times the door being opened to you is related on a relationship with Him? You remember this morning in our teaching, if you're here this morning, that we were talking about God revealed to me the steps we as a church are to be involved in. The number one step was to teach the people they can know God. Why? Because that's what He says, get you in. So many people are concerned about manifesting something or just getting in, sliding in, or just going to church faithfully or even unfaithfully. And God says, I need to know you. Now I believe if you do endeavor to know God, you will be in church. Because He's going to direct you to the church you need to be at. Right? And I really believe unless somebody's in a remote area where there are no churches available worthy to go to. They can still find them online. But if you're in an area and there are many churches around worthy of going to, or at least one, and you haven't found it, there's probably evidence you're not hearing from God. Why? Because God will take you to the church you're to be at. That's one of His key desires, is to get you connected, infused, and grafted to the body of Christ. Is this too hard tonight? He said, strive to enter at the straight gate. Verse 26. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence. What's that mean? They've been to some of the church dinners. You follow me? Or there's a coffee shop in the church and they can, you know, get a sticker bar while they're in church. In your presence, right? And thou wast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know not whence you are. I don't know where you're from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There shall there be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. Now, we mentioned a while ago, it could be regarding that marriage supper of the bridegroom, that it's just talking about people that make it in the rapture and those that don't. But here, it makes it more clear. It appears like it's talking about those that make it to heaven and those that don't. Because when it's talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, and you see them and you're not there, that's not talking about just a rapture situation. This is talking about eternity. These doors are important. We endeavor to go through them. Amen? That's why the Spirit of God, unless you harden your heart to His voice, is so diligent about telling you you need to fix areas of your life. Right? You still with me? John chapter 10. Are you there? And let's go to verse number. Trying to figure out how to not have to read the whole thing. Well, let's start at verse 1. I can't just jump into it. Jesus, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now understand, in a sheepfold, you'd have a hedge or some kind of fenced in enclosure with a gate. And if somebody didn't go through the door, it was probably because they were sneaking over the fence trying to steal sheep. Right? But Jesus said the one that goes through the door, in other words, that goes through the rightful passageway, is the shepherd of the sheep. Well, I want to tell you as well, there's no way you're going to go through these doors that God's placed before you, before us, without going through them the right way, which is by faith and by the Word. I tell you what, I've been doing this for some time now, and I've watched a lot of people come to the church, and they come just looking for a position or an opening to get a position. And most of the time, they'll come in and say, I'm an ordained minister. I've preached here, and I've ministered there. And you know, as Bobby Jean would say, la-di-da-di-da. And you can look right through them a lot of the time and know they're here just trying to get a position. Or maybe they play this instrument, or they've been a worship leader. They're looking for a position. They're not after Jesus. They're after an opening. They're not here because they want the teaching. They want a position. And so many people as well will come to church. Now, not in this church, because this is a covenant church and God protects it. But I've been to the churches where in the church, people are competing for spots of leadership or authority or control within the church. So what are they doing? They're using worldly mindsets and methods, salesmanship techniques, to try to sell themselves for a job. And at times, if it's carried to too high a level, they'll try to undercut somebody else to get their job, or to move themselves above somebody else in consideration for a job. That's not how you get promoted in God's church. You get promoted by becoming a servant to all men. Jesus said, he that will be chief among you, let him become servant of all. But he tries to elevate himself. Pride goeth before a fall. He will be humbled. So a lot of these people bounce from church to church to church trying to find some ministry opening or some pastoral position, some leadership or worship team position. Because so many people reject it, they've got to find somewhere to find the open door they're after. You know what? It's always going to end up in disappointment. They may get their position, but there'll be no anointing on what they got. Amen. There are even churches that cater to opportunistic, position-searching people. Did you follow what I just said? I've seen advertisements. Have you been rejected at your church? Has your gift been ignored? Come to our church. We embrace your giftings. And you get every kind of rebellious person you can name coming to the church. And they get a title and a position. Why? They're operating by world's methods and mentalities to sell people, to keep them, or to get them. And nobody's really going through any doors. The genuine doors of God require you do it by the word, by faith. You go through the door properly and rightfully, which means God recognizes your efforts. Amen. And promote you. Verse 3. To him the porter openeth. Now the porter, we understand Jesus is the shepherd, right? To him the porter openeth. I believe the porter is the one controlling the opening of the doors. We could say it's Father God or the Holy Spirit. Even Jesus is the porter as well. God's the one that controls who comes in and who goes out. Who's really his sheep and who isn't. Right? And the sheep hear his voice. So we know it's obviously God, right? And he calleth his sheep. Well, that'd be the shepherd. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Leadeth them out of darkness. Leadeth on the way there to go. But he leads them. And the way he leads them is because he knows his sheep. Right? And he putteth forth his own sheep, and he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Have you seen that video? Pastor Callum was showing it for a while. Of the people trying to call the sheep from a pasture. They did a demonstration. It's fairly recent, within the last year or so. You showed that here, okay. The video we showed here then. They had some different people standing at the gate, calling to the sheep in the pasture, and they're all giving the same holler sheep, you know, whatever, woo sheep, and the sheep don't even look up. But finally, the shepherd steps up, and after several people tried it, he goes the same thing, woo sheep, and they all come herding to the gate. Why? They knew his voice. God knew what he meant when he was using that example, because they understood the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. Why? Because he spent time listening to them, hearing them, communing with them. This again ties back to knowing God, having that relationship with him. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Now here's another thing. Once you know the voice of Jesus, really the leading of the Spirit of God within, it will be very difficult for the enemy to deceive you and lead you astray. But opportunist people, people that are looking to open their own doors with their own efforts, the enemy is able to dangle carrots out in front of them and say, come over here, I'll get you what you want. You cannot let your spiritual destiny be up for sale. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things that they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Now get this. He's the shepherd. And he's the door. Potentially, he's also the porter. He said, I'm the door. Now, what does it mean when Jesus said, I'm the door? Do you remember in the tabernacle, between the holy place and the most holy place, there was a veil? And when Jesus died, that veil was rent in twain, meaning the way to the Most High God was now made available to man. Well, that veil, the Bible says, is Jesus' flesh. He was the veil we had to get through to get to the Father. And of course, through His death, burial, and resurrection, those that believe on God are made as righteous as Jesus. You're made a new creation in Christ. And because you're now made righteous, you have access through that standard God set, that Jesus set with His own life. Now you get to go into the presence of God, sinless. Amen? So now we can go in and visit and commune with God anytime. Jesus is the shepherd. He's also the door. And He knows every situation you're going through. And He suffered like as we have in the flesh, right? All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. I like this. I believe the door that we're going through is this door that we go into through worship, through praise, through study time, through going to church, where we enter into His presence. In other words, it's a spiritual door. It's not an actual physical door, even a physical spiritual door. It's a portal that worship and praise and word and church opens up to us. And we can go in and get filled and then go back out and find our assignment. And go back and forth and back and forth. But I believe if you spend enough time going in, when you go out, your lamps will be overflowing and you'll always have the presence of God when you go out. In other words, we don't go out from the presence of God. We go out from that place of worship. You have jobs. You have families. You have responsibilities. You can't be in worship and praise and church all the time. We wish you could. Amen. Certainly wish we could do it more than a few hours a week. But that door that you go into where you enter that place, when you come out, doesn't mean you leave God behind. You take Him with Him because you have a full lamp. And you take enough God with you. While you're out, you don't run out. So when you come back in, you can get refilled and you're never empty. Because we know the results of that happen when we're empty, right? Or even just running on fumes. All of a sudden, the old man tries to rise up and control our actions and activities. Now, verse 10, we can't not read verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life and that they might have abundance. That's really how it should be worded. They might have life and have abundance. That is the result. Zoe life and overflowing abundance are the result of spending much time on the other side of this door. And as you spend, follow me on this now. We're closing. As you spend sufficient time going through this door that Jesus is, then God will take you through all the doors of opportunity that the blessing will flow through. So that then you become a door that can, the blessing of God can be poured out through to the world to transform conditions all around you. Did you catch that? What a powerful God we serve. We just got to make sure we keep our attention on the doors God's made available to us. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Seal it in our understanding. Cause us to be people of great conviction, great determination, and great fire. Bless each person here as they go their way. Fill them to overflowing so during the week they're never low on oil. And use them to pour out Your blessing through to everybody they come in contact with. I thank You for divine appointments in each person's life. There are none sick here, none in pain, none in lack, and none die before they're very old and ready to go. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll share the love of God.